Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Rudy van Black, director at Boston Consulting. A very, very good morning. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us. How are you?
I'm well, thanks, Howard. Good to speak to you.
So it's interesting because so many people that I'm working with are going through this process and they're saying, well, you know, I'm loving working at home because of the traffic and I'm gaining an hour or two a day on work. But then they're saying, well, but I'm in Zoom meetings or Teams meetings all day and I don't know how to switch off at night. Instead of bringing my work home with me, I'm now living at the office effectively. What are you seeing? Where are we going with all of this?
I think it's very interesting what you say, because when we look at the data from the survey where we interviewed over 200,000 people globally together with the network and their local partner Career Junction, what we found is that actually 44% of South Africans would like to work fully remotely, so not going into the office at all, and only 4% of South Africans would like to go and back to working at the office kind of 5 days a week full-time. So the data points to the fact that South Africans do actually prefer working remotely, more so than the global average, which is more at about 24%. But tied to that, as you were highlighting, there's this question of work-life balance and what that looks like under remote working. And South Africans do also say in the survey that their work-life balance has deteriorated since working remotely. So kind of interesting that on the balance, they still do want to work remotely, but that their work-life balance has deteriorated. And I'm happy to discuss a bit around kind of what we've seen works well in terms of that. But that's what the stats.
I would love to hear it, because it's one of the things, for example, at a company that I'm involved with, is what we've decided is because people are, as a result of working remotely, are in meetings all day every day.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've done is Tuesdays and Thursdays, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Everybody, there's no internal meetings. It's called productivity time. So people actually have the time to sit and be creative and be productive in their own way, because otherwise you just literally are going from one meeting to the other. Meeting hygiene, I think, has become a real concern. What are you seeing?
You're touching on a very important question, because it's very easy to almost expect employees to be always on when it comes to remote working and expect our colleagues to always be available. So I think some of the points you mentioned actually are ideas that we typically recommend. So something around structuring your day a bit more explicitly. When do you start work? When do you stop work? Making that clear as kind of a team norm. Blocking time for lunch even, because it's easy to kind of always get meetings shoved into your lunch hour, which is not ideal. Blocking times for dinner. And explicitly, as you mentioned, also blocking time for work, productivity hours. So it is actually bringing almost management routines and how we structure our meetings, our reporting, a lot more to the forefront. So being very explicit about it is critical. And the other big challenge is finding the right space for informal interactions with the kind of water cooler interactions where often actually a lot of insights are generated and a lot of decisions are made or pre-discussions happen before big decisions are made. And that doesn't occur naturally anymore. So there's a need to create a space for those types of interactions.
So how do you do that? How would you recommend doing that?
So I think there's a few models that can work here. I think one aspect is to schedule one-on-one meetings with colleagues a bit more regularly than you would normally need to in a working in-person environment, without any clear agenda even, just to make sure you have a catch-up with your peers. Another way is to try and create some virtual social events. This is something that we've done quite a bit at BCG, where you can find some way of having kind of a more informal catch-up with your team, whether it's a virtual dinner where everyone kind of has a dinner or cook-off where you cook together. There's all kinds of different events or games or things you can do virtually where you just create a bit of an informal interaction opportunity. And I think the third model, which is probably where we're going more in the long term, is some kind of hybrid model where there is certain times where you do go into the office, where you do get to mix with colleagues in person, even if that's not 5 days a week model we used to historically.
Yeah, because I think that's the thing that people are missing most. Certainly when I talk to people, they are getting work done. They're loving certain aspects, but they're missing their colleagues and friends. They're missing that downtime. And as you said, they don't know how it's quite difficult to balance work life at the moment. One of a colleague that I know, what she does is, at the end of the day, she takes her laptop, even if she's working in her lounge or dining room, she'll take her laptop, close it, and put it into her briefcase and walk and put it in the cupboard. So in a way, that's almost equivalent of this drive home. But most of us aren't disciplined enough to do that, knowing we're just going to pull it out the cupboard and plug it in again a little bit later.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, one approach that I found quite useful is to start adopting a bit more of an agile approach in the ways of working. So to incorporate some of those aspects around having a daily stand-up with your team where you explicitly agree what are the deliverables for today, what are the priorities, and not only having a daily stand-up, but having a daily check-out around the end of the workday, maybe an hour or two before the workday would end, to agree what's really critical to wrap up today versus what can we deprioritize, shift to the next day, so that it's not this implicit expectation that everyone should just always continue working, but you can have that explicit discussion to say, given what's left, what is your end time, and is it important enough to work beyond the normal working hours or not?
Rudy, how do you think it's going to look when this pandemic is all over and we have the ability to go back to work? How do you think it's going to settle down and look like? What do you think it'll look like?
Look, employees have made it very clear that they do prefer working remotely. So I think we have to take that seriously. And that means that most likely we'll end up in a kind of hybrid model where there is the opportunity for employees to work remotely, at least a part of the time. It's going to differ by role. So companies need to have a very thoughtful strategy on how they think about remote work, because some roles need to be more at the office, some can work more remotely. So there'll be new policies that need to be created, new guidelines. The right enablers, which I think we're already starting to get right, will need to be there. And I think this is new to everyone globally. So there'll be a need to kind of experiment a bit, monitor success, and really track how things are working. But in summary, it definitely is going to be some kind of hybrid model with some remote work, some in-person work, and it will be quite tailored depending on the types of industries and the types of roles.
Well, because the one thing that this pandemic has forced us to do is upskill technologically. So all of a sudden, even if people were resistant, they had no option but to get on board. They're now upskilled, and now they see, well, it's actually not so difficult.
Absolutely. I think it's incredible looking back over the past year just to see how far we've come and been able to do things remotely that we maybe never thought was possible. And I think to make that sustainable, what has to go hand in hand with that is some of the aspects we were discussing earlier on mental health as well, which will need to be taken very seriously.
Absolutely.
Going forward, because it's so easy to lose this aspect as you move remotely.
Yeah, especially people that are living alone and might not have human contact. It's a very, very real challenge. Rudy Van Black, Director at Boston Consulting Group, thank you for taking the time to chat to us.